Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is Terry Laundrie with my comments for Wednesday, April 6, 2005. Today I'm going to take a look at the two charts which are posted below, the short term and the weekly chart. Then I want to make some comments on the questions raised. I won't get a chance to cover them all, but I'll take them in batches. And then I want to discuss the Democrat-driven investment possibilities, which are important to discuss. I wrote about this elsewhere, and I just think it's an important thing to just pass along at this point in time. In the first chart, we have the weekly adaptive channels for the S&P 500. And I would point out that we have not quite touched the black 39-week moving average. And yet, if you look in the short-term chart, there's a rally beginning to develop here. And so it's possible we're going to have a little bit of a bounce up and then have to come down and touch the 39-week moving average at a later date. This is very similar to the kind of behavior that we saw the last time, last summer, where you would come down and you could come close to the moving average. But generally speaking, you would think that you would probably get down to it at a later date, and so we'll have to see how that goes. Also notice on the chart there that I have Terry's calculated envelope. There was a question as to where these red and green envelopes come from. I'll discuss that in some detail later on, but it's a set of equations which I derived, and they're proprietary. It's interesting to know about them, but I won't say much further on this point. Also, the question on the big dumb T relates to where the endpoint is, and I will discuss that when I get to another chart where I can put the advanced decline T on it. Now, moving on to the short-range T chart, I had a question as to what the red lines were down in the blue volume oscillator. They're just calculated envelopes using the same formulas that are used to get the ones in the price, and it's necessary to show what is a low volume in the volume oscillator, and you see that the volume oscillator in the late March period get down to the red line. The red line tries to tell you where the oversold condition point is on the volume oscillator, and this is difficult to maintain through history because the volume is always increasing and you can't just use a level. So these are the adaptive levels that tell you where oversold conditions are. Now generally when you make an oversold condition, you start to get a rally, but it's not the major rally. You have to wait until you can cut the trend lines, the green cash buildup line, or to develop some sort of a tape. But I just wanted to pass that along. Now, we do seem to be coming off this bottom, and I would expect that we're probably going to have some sort of a rally, and you are likely to find some resistance at the 1187 level, which is the moving average, because when you broke that, you broke the support, now it becomes resistance on the upside. So 1187 on the upside, which is only 6 points from where we are today, but you could go a little bit higher if the market is in a bullish mode. But I do think that you're going to run into some problems along the way, and then you're going to have to come back down here, and we'll catch that at a later date. Now, moving on to my demographic thesis, I recently summarized my long-term views based on T's, Hubbard's analysis, and the demographics as follows. There are three long-term themes that I feel are sufficiently secure to form the long-term basis for an investment program. They are, first, the significantly greater economic potential for the China-Asia region and the great advantages they will always have in GDP growth rates and lower labor costs. Secondly, the potential for physical asset appreciation in a world of ever-growing population and increasingly scarce natural resources, which make oil, minerals, water, and precious metals strong stores of value. And three, the aging U.S. population trend, which implies a natural progression for U.S. consumer spending over the next decade or two. Now, the demographic influence to drive investments basically comes from the baby boomer, which, as you probably will recall, after the end of the Second World War, which ended in 1945, and the troops came home, they made up for lost time by having babies as soon as possible after that date. That would be 45, 46, 47. And this causes a bulge in the population of that particular age group, which then propagates through time. By the 2005, 60 years has passed, so these people who were born at that time period are 60 years old, and in reference to Bill Lovig's question on the real estate, the upscale real estate people claim that these people who are just coming into the 60-year-old are looking for upscale properties, and that was really the basis for the real estate chart that I had put up. The interesting thing about real estate, however, is it could be, because it's based on land, could be a scarce resource. It could be a demographically driven pattern, which is going to peak in a couple of years. But the general idea is that people, at the time they've reached 60, have a lot of money, have their maximum money, and many people would have prospered in the boom for the stocks. And what they're looking for is their one last house, which is going to be a very upscale house, and which they won't mind spending money on because they have plenty of cash, and they probably leave it to their children, and so they will enjoy the good life. Now, if you're looking for investment ideas based on this, you should remember that in another 10 years, in another 5 years, that is 2010, they'll be 65, and they will be entering the Social Security, which, of course, is a known problem. And if you look at 10 years from now, you're going to start seeing them hitting Medicare, which is the real serious drain on the resources. But you can look through this natural progression of life, which goes probably 20 years from now, you'll start seeing a high death rate in that area. So the people that are going to be that's the normal passage of this bubble in the population. The natural progression is fixed, and it really has to drive investments into the real estate area, the upscale real estate area now, which is interesting. And then in another 5 years, you're going to start seeing people who make medical devices prospering, because there'll be the joints and so forth that will be aging and may need to be replaced. And then another 5 years beyond that, you're going to see managed care, because people will have to take care of them. The kids won't want to take care of them. And then at the end, you're going to see the casket makers and the cemetery people 20 years from now seeing a big flush of business. I did mention the research link, because I found out that if you go into the fund quick rank system for Morningstar, you can sort through all these groups, and you can actually find both the funds that will naturally follow this progression and will prosper it, and you can verify their technical procedures. Also, if you're interested in stocks, all you have to do is go to the fund that you like, and you will find that you can choose the portfolio, and you can find the 25 largest holdings in it. You know, all in all, it's a very easy way to research any of these ideas. The 39-week moving average is just a way to form a filter, and as soon as I can get some information on some of these medical device type funds and so forth, I'll apply it to them, because I think it might be more interesting than, and if you think real estate is past, you can always look out to these other things. So that winds it up for today. I will get to some more of the March questions in my next report. Otherwise, have a nice day, and thanks for checking in. Bye.